right?
This morning, there's been a theme. It's been desire, desire of our hearts, and delighting ourselves in the Lord. We sang this morning a song, "Be My Delight." We sang a song, "Jesus Paid It All." And this morning, I really felt God hungry for our praises. I felt God saying, "It's time to be real with me. If you love me, worship me. If you love me, listen to my word. If you love me, obey me. If you love me, show it." We have a lot of people here. In fact, everyone is part of a family, whether it's related family or spiritual family. We're family here. Even if it's your first time here, we're family because of God's grace. As a family who loves the Lord, we also need to show it and to love each other as Christ loves us. We give the Lord a lot of hard times. We blame him for our own decisions. We blame him for the fact that there's sin in the world and bad things happen to all of us. Good things happen to all of us. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. It's time for the church to put on the big boy and big girl pants and start loving each other as we love the Lord. There are so many hurts. There's so many broken promises. There's so many areas in which our hearts are hurting, even within this body. And because of that, God's heart is broken. We're a people who supposedly desire to serve him, to love him, and to be his above all things. If that is true, what really is the desire of our heart? What is desire? It's a strong feeling of wanting something, wishing for something to either get or to happen. We all have desires. They're good and they're bad. But desire is really a gift from God because it motivates us. If we desire God above all else, we're motivated to do his will. If we desire a thing, we're motivated to work towards getting that thing. We fall in love with someone, we're motivated to get to know that person even better. I did that, and I've been married 26 years. So, but our desires are not ours alone. If we trust and say that we are followers of Christ, then our desire needs to first and foremost come from him and be through him. The problem with desire lies in the source of the desire. The Bible speaks in a few places about desire. Today we're going to focus on Psalm 37, 4 through 7a, and Philippians 3, 3 through 12. So I'm going to read Psalm 37. And I'm going to start from verse 3. And you'll probably recognize the words as we did sing some of them today. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desire of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Let's pray. Father God, precious Jesus, we come to you today asking, Lord, that you would open up our minds, our understanding, our hearts, soften them, that we could receive truth from you today. Lord, I pray that every word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would truly be acceptable to you today. Use me. Flow, Lord Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, that your words would only come forth today. Father, show us your truth. What is our heart's desire? Psalm 37:4 says, to delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Do we delight ourselves in Jesus Christ? When you think of something that excites you, even if you can't see anything below the nose, your eyes smile, and people can tell. If they can't see your eyes, they can see your smile. The whole face reflects joy, excitement, anticipation, from the eyes to the mouth to the body to the posture, everything. When you're excited about something, if you can, you stand, you get excited, teenagers jump around and yell, right? It's just how it is. Girls scream loud when they're excited, all right? Guys, they tend to crash into each other and do the chest bump thing and high five. And you know, people get excited about stuff. You go to the Packers game, right? You know, everything's cool. We come to church. Oh, let's praise the Lord. I got to stand up. I was driving the whole way here. I need a break. I need to sit. Or, and I know some people can't stand. That's fine, because when my knees go out, believe me, I sit down. I'm not talking about that. What I am talking about is delighting ourselves in the Lord, delighting ourselves in Jesus Christ. There is a reason to smile. There is a reason to be happy. I've talked about this before. There is a reason to rejoice. We delight in Jesus Christ because he has saved us. He has set us free. He made this place. He made us to be able to breathe in and out. It feels pretty good to do that. Not everyone can breathe in and out well. My dad's one of them. We need to delight ourselves in Jesus Christ. The promise is that he shall give you the desires of your heart. The very next line, however, says, commit your ways to the Lord. Commit your ways. That means your actions, what you do. You're making almost like a vow to commit your life to Jesus Christ. Commit your way to the Lord. It's not my way. My way causes me to have what I call spirit of student stupid accidents. Therefore, I have had a bunch of surgeries on my knees. Okay? Spirit of stupid accidents. I need at all times to be thinking about what God wants for me and what I should be doing and how I should be doing them. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So where is my heart? Where is your heart? What kind of heart do we have? Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. We are the circumcision. Okay, what does that mean? We're boys and girls here, right? What he's talking about is the heart. Romans 2:29 says, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, and he's referring to the letter of the law, whose praise is not from men, but from God. We are the circumcision, those of us who have circumcised our hearts unto the Lord and are seeking his praise, not the praise of man. Where is my heart? Is it with him, or is it with my own desires? Do I let my fleshly heart overrun the Holy Spirit heart, the heart that God has placed within me? We have a choice every minute of the day to choose the Holy Spirit leading and a beautiful, pure white heart, or a heart of flesh that can be rock hard and black. We have a choice. I want to be of the circumcision. I want to hear God's praise. John told me about a scripture that I hadn't even thought of before. And it's about a man whose heart was black. He was one of the chosen people. He was an Israelite. And they had been called to go into battle and to only take the things basically that were part of the temple. They were not to take any garments, any personal booty. You know, they weren't supposed to loot the place that way, or else it would bring a curse upon the entire of Israel, of the Israelis. The guy's name is Achan. And in Joshua 6, 17 and 18 is where he talks about, you know, that we're not supposed to touch anything. Joshua 7, 1 through 13 says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding accursed things. For Achan took of accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Joshua went to go in and fight this other group called people of Ai, and they got their butts kicked. 36 men died. A battle that should have been easily won by them brought destruction to the whole camp because of one man's hidden heart's desire, one man's sin. He saw these beautiful things and said, I have to have them. No one will know. And what happened? He cursed the entire people. So what ended up happening to this man? He confessed. God's wrath and justice came out. Achan, his family, all his possessions, his donkeys, his oxen, all his sheep. The people were stoned to death, and then everything was put together and burned. Hidden sin, secret sin, will be found out. We can think that no one in the church knows what I do all week, but God knows. And if you're pretending to be one of his people, there's only so long that he will take that. And you could end up cursing your entire family because of your sin. It is important that our hearts be pure. We want, again, that white heart. That white heart that loves the Lord, that's been forgiven, that's been saved, that's been set free through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what we want. Who are we when we worship God in spirit? Most of the time, we're joyful. When we are walking with the Lord, it doesn't matter how bad things are in our day-to-day circumstances. We still have joy. We still can share with other people. We still can love. We can still have excitement in Jesus because we know how to worship him and rejoice in him and have that pure heart, that clean heart. The other part of it is Paul says to have no confidence in the flesh. Have we turned away from the flesh? And what are we truly seeking? Who are we seeking? Are we like Paul? It says in Psalm 137:5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. Paul, John said, Paul was never wrong. He was just wrong. I said, okay. But what that means is Paul, when he was still called Saul, was a passionate follower of the Lord. He was pure in every way. A Jewish person knew how to be pure. He was pure in the law. It says in here, in Philippians 3:4, though I also might have confidence in flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. What these things were gained to me, these I have counted as loss for Christ. Paul was a great Hebrew man. He was the awesome man of the Jews, okay? And he had a passion for people to worship God the way they should. And he saw these Christians blaspheming God as far as he was concerned. They were worshiping someone else. So he went out with his passion, zeal, and righteousness and killed them. Because that's what the law said to do. So, he wasn't wrong, but he was wrong. all of a sudden, he goes on this little trip to Damascus and gets hit by the light. Blinded by the light, right? He got blinded by the light of God. And that light and God himself, Jesus himself, saying, "Yo, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" made Saul realize that he had been attacking his own Lord. He repented immediately. He came to know Jesus as his Messiah. And immediately he began to obey him. Just as he was obeying the Father in the law, as soon as he learned who Jesus was, he obeyed Jesus. He didn't run away blaming some evil demon thing for making him blind. He realized that God wanted him to know the Messiah. So immediately he obeyed him and went where he was ordered to. Got his sight back. Became one of the great men of the word that we learn today from. We have a man whose heart was open in his desire. His desire was not wrong, but he was wrong. His desire was to serve the Lord. Then we have Achan, who only thought of himself and what he desired, and it brought destruction. An open heart that desires to serve the Lord, if it's repentant, can save hundreds, thousands, can be used of God. Paul, I don't know, he's just pretty cool to me. Do we have a heart and a desire to be used by God? Here's something. Are we upset when we have some talent or other or some gift that we just want to use for the Lord, but then we see someone else actually being allowed to do it? Or they're doing it really, really well. And you find yourself getting a little bit jealous. Sometimes that happens. All of a sudden, that desire to serve the Lord with our gifts and talents becomes, I want to use my talents. I want to do it. I want to do it my way so I can serve the Lord the way I know he wants me to. What? If all of a sudden you're focusing on your gift, your talent, your ability to do this, that, or the other thing, the desire of your heart has changed from following God's will to going after what you desire for yourself. If we turn ourselves into desire-chasing people, we end up hurting ourselves and the people around us. God calls us to follow him. He calls us to have our desire to be closer to him, to be his, to obey him, to want to be used by him. If we're concentrating on the perceived lack of ability to use an ability, then we've gone away from the path. Wide is the path that leads to destruction, but narrow is the one that leads to life, right? So, those are sort of warning signs. If you find yourself thinking more about a desire than about the Creator, then you might sort of be off track. So, that's just a warning that God can give us to help us to follow him in the right way. We have a heart of flesh. Heart of flesh tends to be legalistic. Rules rule. You're either right or you're wrong. Do it my way. Don't you dare play cards. Don't play anything that might look like, you know, I don't know. If you play Parcheesi, that's bad. Play dominoes, that's bad. You got to just go to church and sit in your nice press suit. Don't move. Just listen. Legalism. Listen. You have no choice but to do what the church tells you to. That's not of God. Heart of God and the Holy Spirit is a heart that is humble, servant, desires to grow, desires to praise, desires to move and do the will of the Lord. Heart of flesh, desire comes from the person's wants and not from the Holy Spirit. James 4:3 says, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasure," basically your own desire. How many times, especially as we're growing up, do we ask for things? Lord, if I have this, I can serve you better. Oh, Lord, just let me have this. And you don't get it. Well, maybe you're asking amiss. Maybe that's not the direction God has for you. Maybe if you get that thing, or get to go there, or get to be around this person, or get to do something, it'll lead you down a wrong path. Our desire when we pray should be, Lord, help me to want what you want. Help me to see what you want me to do, what you want me to become. A heart of flesh causes us to look at ourselves higher than what we ought. I'm the only one who can do this. I can't believe they would let so-and-so do that because I do it so much better. I am the best cook ever. So why is she getting to cook the cake? I am the best person with a bow out in the stand, and I can kill any deer I want. So why didn't I catch anything this year? We look at ourselves when our hearts are more flesh than spirit. The person who is in God's Holy Spirit thinks of others higher than themselves. We look at other people and we say, I love you. We say, what can I do for you? You're hurting. Can I pray with you? The heart of flesh goes, oh, you're hurting? What'd you do wrong? The heart of the Spirit sees someone sick, sees someone broken, sees someone humiliated, not humble, humiliated, and goes to them and says, Jesus loves you. Let me build you back up. Let me pray with you. Let me hold you until you're strong enough to fight. We can't do it on our own. The whole reason God gives us a Holy Spirit and asks us to have that Holy Spirit living within us is because we can't do it on our own. We can't live a life unto the Lord on our own strength. Our kids fall apart when we don't. Our kids fall apart when we don't stand for what is right in the Lord. Our kids need to see that mom is a tower of refuge, that dad is strength in covering the home. Our kids need to see the reality of Jesus Christ being lived out in us, in our day-to-day life, not just how we look on Sunday. Anyone can put on the church mask on a Sunday and be the most holy, happy, joyful person and then go home and yell at the kids and swear at them and hit them. That's not of God. That's not having a heart of the Holy Spirit. If we want God to give us the desires of our heart, we need to let him put those desires there. The heart of the Holy Spirit is one that desires to become like Jesus, to do his will. And it truly wants to be like Jesus. The heart is filled with God's Holy Spirit, will pour out itself for others, and the holy heart will seek truth and God's justice and mercy above its own supposed rights. Do we have the right to get mad when something happens? Sometimes, yeah. However, it is more important that we sow mercy and grace, forgiveness to those who hurt us, so that God's mercy can abound, so that that person can realize the love of the Lord that they may never have felt before. Because in that moment, you were Jesus with skin on. In that moment, you were living God's desire for you because you loved on the person who came up against you and thought the worst of you. There are people who may come up with falsehoods to say about you outside the church, even within the church. They may make up things about you. They don't know you necessarily. They don't know how you live every day of your life. If they only see you most of the time just here, how can they judge how you live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? There is no one in this church outside of my husband who even knows me. You know what you've gotten to know so far. I hope and I pray that even if you see me out in the street, that I'm the same person that I am here. My desire is to live a life that is sold out to Jesus so that no matter where I am, I'm still thinking of Jesus first, Carrie second, or third. Psalm 137:6, he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. We need to be a people who choose God first, self second, plain and simple. We need to be a people that chooses each other before we choose ourselves. God's word. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desire of your heart. We delight in the Lord. What is the desire of our heart going to be? To have more of him. To be with him. To live with him. To be a part of his purpose for our lives. Is it really feasible in our society to live a life for Jesus? Is it really possible for us to live every day as Christians? In church, out of church, in school, at work, out on the street? Is it possible to live our lives unto him every day? It's hard. But how do we really do the living a life for Jesus every day? The simple answer is with a lot of hard work. The great answer is with Him first in our lives. The hard work sometimes is reading our Bibles when we're tired. But the easy work is reading our Bibles. How do we get to know someone? Spend time with them. We read our Bible. We pray. We get to know Him. We worship Him. We pray. We listen to Him. We pray. We pray. We pray. We pray. We seek His will. We seek His direction. How do we live for Him? We trust in the Lord and do good. We dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. We delight ourselves in the Lord. We commit our ways to the Lord, and we trust also in Him. My desire is to serve Him with my skills, my talents, with everything that I am. Verse 12 in Philippians 3. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Jesus not only wants to save us, but He laid hold of me, of you. He picked you. He has a desire that we should come to Him. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved.
Thank you, Jesus. As we were praying about what God wanted us to share in the message today, I kept thinking about, okay, well, what's my desire? You know, okay, I want to be God's, right? I want to belong to God. I want to serve Him. But then I had to stop and think, what is God's desire? Does God get the desires of His heart? What is His desire? Sure, I want to go on and do this great thing, whatever it is. Hopefully God will use my talents on the way. What is God's desire? Over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, tells us God's desire. Now judgment is coming. It is coming. We know that we live in the end time. Second Peter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's God's desire. God's desire is that every one of you, everyone that will, willingly love Him, will come to repentance. He doesn't want anyone to perish. That's not His will. Over in Ezekiel 33 in the Old Testament, even from the old days of Israel, Ezekiel 33:11, tells us God's desire. He tells them to say to them, "As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." And then He cries out to him and He says, "Turn, turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel. He's not just talking to the world out there. He's talking to his own people. His own chosen ones, his precious ones. He says, turn. He pleads with them, turn. I don't take pleasure in you being destroyed. I take no pleasure in that. What is God's desire? Is that you turn. Turn to him. And turn to his love. Provides for that by Jesus, by his atonement. Let's close in prayer. Lord God, we thank you that you include us in your plan of salvation. Thank you that your heart, we can know your heart. And that you call us out. Call us to turn to you, to surrender everything to you, and to follow your desire, the desire of your heart. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Preaching every Sunday. Things change. My dad goes away from time to time. And one thing, I'm grateful for the time that we have family with loved ones. and really, God brings us into family. This is God's family. And if you're feeling alone, if you're feeling alone, and you're needing to know God, and you know His presence, I pray that there's a place to do it. What time? We don't know what time we have. I just thank God for His grace and His mercy. That we can be here together in these moments. I don't know what's coming. I don't know what's coming down the way. But I pray that God would hold us together, each and every one, and be our strength. And that we would really see God's desire. That we really would be His hands and His feet. And we would do and reach out to each other and to the world around us in the way that He desires. In closing, Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Even so, go out in the power of the Holy Spirit." Amen.